Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are explicit sexual content, physical abuse, and somnophilia.
And I have a Spotify comment for you guys.
Yeah. Woo.
We've been getting a lot lately.
I love it. We have.
Keep leaving them. And this one is from Arub. Love this podcast. I've been telling all my friends about this. Really love the girls. Y'all are so funny and literally pass the vibe. Keep the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You guys are so sweet.
And this week we're telling Riley all about Made for the Alphas by Layla Sparks. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it a 4-star. I was thoroughly entertained.
Okay.
Like, I would recommend it to someone if they were like, hey, I want this crazy book. I got you.
Yeah. I gave it a 3.5. It was a very fun read. It was very entertaining. I chuckled a few times.
Oh, I love that.
And I'm not a chuckler, and I chuckled.
Sorry, I was gonna do like a chuckle, but
that was good. That's what I do. Yeah.
That's exactly what Charlotte does.
I originally gave it a 2, and then I moved it to a 3.
Shelby.
You hated
it? It was very entertaining. Just the whole time, I was going, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Not because I was confused for any point of the plot. I just, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Our main character, Brianna, is almost finished with the dishes when her father has her gather more alcohol for his friends. She accidentally drops a bottle on the floor, and it shatters, and her dad is furious and makes her clean it up, but not before he hits her and breaks her hand, telling her how useless of a beta she is. When she finishes cleaning it, she walks to her Omega aunt's house so her aunt can help her mend her broken hand. Her aunt admits that she wants her to leave this place and to live with the humans, and she can leave with her, but she's like, I can't leave. Later that night, Brianna's mom gives birth to a baby boy, and he's an alpha, and she knows that her life is not going to be the same anymore, so it's time to actually leave.
And what is Brianna?
A beta.
Oh, a beta. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Riley, she's a beta.
5 years later, she's living in Houston with her aunt, and she cleans houses for a living while her aunt is a cashier at a gas station. They live in a trailer park, but they've never been happier to be, like, free from their compound, so, ugh, their pack. Used to live at a compound. That night, after she falls asleep, her aunt violently shakes her awake in a panic. She says that there are alphas in the city and they're on their way to them because she can hear them, and they need to leave first thing in the morning. We switch over to Zaf. He is looking for a new house cleaner, and he stops on a post from a girl with brown hair and cornflower blue eyes. It's Brianna's cleaning service, and he decides that she'll be perfect for the job, so he needs to show his pack.
Wait a second. Cornflower blue eyes?
Yeah, it's like a light blue.
Oh. I guess I've never seen a cornflower.
Yeah, I don't know what a cornflower is.
I was like, bitch, yellow.
He shows the guys, so we have Zaf, Chad, Oscar, and Rustin, and they don't really care since they're used to him firing maids and hiring people just to keep them hidden because they're all alphas, and the humans don't know about the alphas, okay?
So they're werewolves.
Yeah.
Wait, they're werewolves?
Yeah.
Oh.
And they're okay. A pack
of alphas.
That's what she meant by, like, the humans. Like, they're not human. They're wooies.
Okay.
They tell him as long as he doesn't knot her and scare her off, they literally don't care if he hires her. And he's like, yeah, won't happen again. So apparently it has happened before. Brianna wakes to a new job inquiry regarding her ad she put out, and she's excited. So she tells her aunt that they actually need to stay because they need the money. Her new client, Zaf, calls her to discuss some details to see if they would be a good fit. So they decide to make plans to meet in 1 hour. When she arrives at his house, she is shocked by the neighborhood and thinks they have to be billionaires because it's a literal mansion. She is 5 minutes late, and the man who answers the door is hot as fuck.
He had jet black hair that glistened in the sun, with a few strands of hair that hung over one eye. His emerald green eyes seemed to pierce through my soul, and he had the most chiseled jaw I had ever seen. He had on a white dress shirt and black slacks that clung in all the right places. And then his smell hit me. He smelled like dark chocolate frosting. He was a fucking alpha werewolf, and it wasn't safe for me to be here.
Oh no.
Oh my goodness. Jacob, is that you?
She knows she needs to leave, but she can't make it suspicious because she's a beta. So if he finds out that she's a beta, she can get in trouble and sent back to the compound. He introduces himself as Zaf, and she tells him that she thinks there's a mishap and she should probably go. And then she starts mumbling about huge thing and just is staring at his pants.
His big old dick.
He tells her to come inside for the interview, and she ends up going in with him. She plans on acting human so she doesn't get caught, but her plan gets sidetracked when he brings her to an office with three other alphas. And now she's just confused because they're not all at a compound, which they're supposed to be. She barely gets through her interview with how nervous she is, and before she realizes it, they hire her on for the job. They give her a tour of the house, and afterwards, they secure her cleaning services by bumping her up to $80 an hour.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
I would show my ass for that.
Oh, and she will.
Yeah, just wait. She agrees to take the job, even though she knows it's dangerous. Zaf gets the limo to take her home, and then they fill the drive with small talk over the app Rustin created, and she panics before they get to the trailer park because she does not want him to know where she lives. So he's like, yeah, just park right here. This nice house is mine. Like, just, I'll see you tomorrow. He tells her that the limo will pick her up here at 8 a.m. So she's walking up to this front door trying to keep up the charade that she lives there. But he will not leave until she goes inside, and she cannot walk in this stranger's house.
I would be shitting.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what the fuck do I do?
Zaf can't believe how beautiful she is in person, but he's watching her like just stand at the door like fumbling through her purse for her key. And she's like, you know what? I'm just going to walk down the street to go get food, whatever. You don't have to follow me. I'll come back to this house when I'm finished.
I'm safe. Don't worry. I'll get inside.
At my house.
But he has the limo driver follow her, and he understands why she was acting so weird when he sees that she lives at the trailer park. She wakes up the next morning to the whole trailer park having packages of food on their porch, children getting new toys, shoes, and she knows that Zaf must have followed her there.
That made my pussy wet.
Riley.
I hated it coming out. So you did, so did I. It just came in my brain, and my brain said, say it. So I said it.
I love it.
Say what's on your mind.
Yeah.
Say it with your chest. And I did.
And you did.
When she walks out the door for her first day, she notices the limo is waiting right outside the trailer park, and she's like, well, all right. When she gets to the mansion, the first alpha she runs into is Rustin. He shows her to the quarters where she can rest, and then they will get through all the tasks that she needs to do for the day. And when I read this, I was like, your maid has their own quarters, but they don't live there? Like, it's a full-ass mini apartment in this room.
Yeah, and he's like, if you need to take a nap, just snooze.
He also, when they get to the room, gives her the uniform she's gonna wear.
My mouth dropped open when I looked at it. It was a short dress that wouldn't even cover my ass, paired with a low-cut neckline. A thong was attached to it as a one-piece.
Hot. It's just like a slutty maid outfit.
Like I said, if I'm getting paid $80 an hour, yes, sir.
He also hands her a pair of heels, reminding her that she signed the contract, so she needs to wear it. She's like, I'm not gonna wear this. Never mind. I'm gonna go. And he's like, I'll give you $2,000 for your first day to wear this. So she's like, okay, get out of the room. I'm gonna get dressed real quick.
Matter of fact, I love this outfit.
She's changing into the slutty maid outfit, and she's wondering if she wears it every day, if she'll get paid an extra $2,000 every day. So she's kind of like, sure, I'll wear whatever the fuck you want me to wear now. She leaves a room and asks what her first task is, and he takes her to the laundry room where she will be doing that for the majority of the day. We switch to Oscar. He just finished his youth karate lesson when he hears a crash. He heads to the laundry room where it came from when he sees the new maid, who is wearing a very tiny uniform, and he can't help but curse Zaf for playing some stupid game with this.
The captivating sight of her bulbous pale ass. I'm sorry. Bulbous pale ass.
Sexy.
Widely exposed in her thong made all the blood rush down to my dick. I never partook in any of the human nodding activities my pack did since I was saving myself for our Omega. Is she gonna sleep with all of them?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I actually haven't read it. I'm not sure.
He helps her out and notices that she doesn't smell like anything, which catches him off guard because humans always have a smell just like alphas and omegas. He keeps trying to lean in to see if he was mistaken, but still no smell.
But maybe if I put my nose between her pussy lips, I'd smell something.
Maybe.
She thanks him for the help, and he goes to leave while thinking of her bent over in her uniform, and he needs to take care of some business now.
The memory of her beautiful tits hanging down while she was on all fours caused more pre-cum to leak. Gripping my cock, I rubbed up and down the shaft, imagining she was on all fours with my cock between her soft, pliant lips. And while her mouth was on my cock, one of my packmates would ram into her tight pussy over and over until she was fucking pregnant with our pack's baby. Disgusting.
Brianna is happy that Oscar is gone because the throbbing between her legs was unbearable. She's never had an alpha look at her like that, and she isn't sure what to think about it. She leaves the room, kind of looking through doors since the house is super big, when she spies Oscar in one room and he's masturbating. As she turns to leave, she runs into Zaf and he comments about how she looks so spooked, and he's wondering what has her looking like that. And he looks into the room she was just exiting and sees Oscar for himself. He kind of laughs it off and invites her to take a break to have brunch with him real quick. She has brunch with Zaf, Rustin, and Chad since Oscar is busy, and they make idle chit-chat about the job so far. All the bitch has done is laundry for an hour.
They're like, you're doing so good.
How do you like the job?
Zaf tells the others he is surprised that Oscar whipping his dick out didn't scare her off just yet, and they all share an amused look knowing her uniform did it for Oscar.
I would have been like, what's happening? Are you guys pranking me? What's gonna happen to me?
A lot. She excuses herself to finish work in the laundry room, and when she gets there, she decides she needs to take the edge off.
I pressed my body against the side of the dryer, trying to angle my pussy against the vibrating machine. You know what? We've all been there.
Have we?
I haven't, but I've heard
I
it.
Have not.
Jenna?
No, I cannot. I am not. Did you say washer or dryer?
Dryer.
Interesting. Okay.
My dryer, like, shakes violently. I think it would hurt me.
I think that's the whole point.
Trying not to fall, I stood on a step stool and climbed on top of the dryer. Oh my goodness. The shaking motion underneath my pussy felt so fucking good, but it just wasn't powerful enough to get me to orgasm. Yeah, it's a fucking dryer.
Oscar asks if she needs help, and she says yes, she's trying to get down. He goes to help her, but rubs his fingers up her thong, causing her to moan. He starts to finger her and asks if she prefers the machine or his fingers. She says that she prefers his fingers, and then she comes.
What the fuck?
Can you just keep in mind, too, this is her first day of employment. Yeah. Yeah.
She hasn't even been there, like, a mere 2 hours.
No. He's already seen one of them jerk off. She's already gotten finger blasted.
He just slips his fingers in, and she's like, yeah, this is fine.
He helps off the dryer and leaves the room. And that's it. Like, he's just like, finger bangs her, gets her off, and he's like, okay.
I mean, he already got himself off, so.
When Oscar gets back to his room, he can't help himself and licks her juices off and inhales the scent. So he literally just has, like, pussy juice on his hand, and he's just, like, booking it back to his room so he can, like.
I know, I'm picturing him walking back to his room just holding his hand up. Be like, I'm gonna lick this when I get into my room.
He gets in the shower thinking about how much it's gonna suck when they have to get rid of her in 2 weeks like all the other maids. Zaf gives her an advance of $2,000, and she has the limo take her to the mall to spoil herself. She made $4,000 in one day.
Good for her. And she got fingered.
What a day. All in a day's work.
She's like, man, I'm bushed.
Her and her aunt wake up later to more alpha howls, and her aunt is like, we are not staying anymore. Tomorrow you need to resign from your job. We gotta go. The next day, Zaf is excited, and he has a proposal for Brianna that he wants to run by the pack. The other alphas start to groan when he begins saying whatever he is about to say, that maybe they should just get an Omega from Howl's Edge Island, which is like a little island pack that they're from. He keeps going by saying that they can give Brianna a non-disclosure form so that they can not her, and Oscar gets kind of jealous over this, and he's like, no, but everyone else votes that they want to see what she says about it. On her way to work, she's rehearsing how she's going to quit, and she hopes that they never find out she's a beta, or there's going to be hell to pay. When she gets there, Zaf is waiting and asks to see her in his office. When they arrive in the office, everyone's already there waiting, and she's like, am I getting fired? And he says, she'll know soon enough, and gets right to business.
I'm sorry, but if I ask if I'm getting fired, and they say, oh, you'll know soon enough, why would you say that? Yeah. Why would you say that?
Zaf does let her know that he has cameras everywhere, so he watched what she did and then what Oscar helped her finish doing. But it's okay, because he has a proposal for her. It's a contract to ensure her safety for any activities between her and the other guys. She hears him out and tries to act like she has no idea what nodding is as he explains everything to her. And Zaf is watching her closely and notices she's not as surprised as the other humans that they've done this with. So he's like, something to keep an eye on. They tell her the contract states they can not her whenever, wherever, and she will get protection, the best treatment, and a pay raise. She says no, even though she is hella soaked at the picture he is painting her. And they tell her that's fine. They respect her wishes and they'll let her get back to her work for the day. She's on laundry duty again, 2 days in a row, and the scents of the alpha clothes are driving her crazy. She makes a pile of the dirty laundry and sits in the middle of it and starts fingering herself.
They have cameras. He told you that.
Zaf grabs a couple clothing items he forgot to put in the laundry basket, and when he gets to the laundry room, he finds Brianna in a nest of clothes, fingering herself. She is absolutely shocked to see him standing there and removes her hand and apologizes. She stands up and he's like, no worries. But in his brain, he's like, she will sign that fucking contract tonight. Brianna is appalled that she got caught doing that, so she continues her chores for the day until she finds the library. She grabs a book and recognizes that it's a monster romance, and she reads that for a while until her arousal builds, and then she starts fingering herself in the library where there are cameras.
She's just a horny bitch.
Chad and the others are crowded around the security camera screen watching her touch herself. Zaf is irritated that she said no to being fucked by them, but then touches herself while reading a book. So he leaves the office to go confront her while the others stay put. Brianna comes and she feels much better about quitting now, but she gets interrupted in her thoughts when Zaf walks in and picks up the book that she had just put off to the side. She asks if there are cameras in here too, and he says, they are everywhere.
We've been watching you.
But she has an idea. She's like, in the non-disclosure form that you mentioned, you said there's protection. And he's like, yes, we will offer you whatever protection you need. And she says that if they protect her and her aunt without letting her aunt see them, meet them, hear them, then she'll sign it and they have an agreement. He says it's done. As soon as she wants to stop, though, so does the protection. He brings her back to the office to sign the document and go over a couple rules.
You will agree to be ours and no one else's during the duration of the contract. Any member of the pack will have access to you in whichever state you are in, even if you are sleeping.
Why would she be sleeping, though? She's the maid.
Yeah, I thought she doesn't live there. They said, I really hope you fall asleep.
She picks her safe word, and Riley, can you guess what her safe word is?
It's actually pretty obvious.
Wolf.
No, it's donut.
Fuck off, Charlotte.
And she signs the paperwork. He tells her that she belongs to him now and their protection will start tonight, but tomorrow all the fun begins. When she gets home, there are 6 bodyguards there to uphold the alpha's end of the contract. Her aunt agrees to let the bodyguards stay, but if there are more howls in trouble, then they're going to leave. The next day, she is hella soaked all morning and excited to see what they have in store for her. She gets a text saying that they're going to the beach, so dress accordingly. When the limo arrives, it has Rustin and Chad inside waiting for her. They're the only three going to the beach. She says maybe she should work first since it's her job, but they tell her that if she's with them, she's getting paid. They hold each of her hands and she looks to Rustin as he kisses her.
Kissing Rustin was unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life. Pure alpha hunger within his kiss turned me on like nothing else. I couldn't believe I was kissing him first. Suddenly, I felt Chad's lips on my collarbone to the left, and I broke the kiss to turn to Chad. Rustin groaned and continued kissing my neck as I kissed Chad on the lips next. Kissing Chad was gentle, and his lips were much softer. My pussy clenched and heated as I felt Rustin's hungry lips on me.
And she's getting paid $80 an hour for this.
Wow.
Chad cups her breasts and squeezes them until she begs for release. Rustin says, "My pleasure," but then they get to their destination.
The men start asking Brianna about her family, and she panics and evades their questions and lies about her aunt's name, saying it's Teresa. And her aunt's name is Julie. Rustin's like, "Okay, you don't have to give details. I had a shitty family growing up, too. That's why I became an app developer, so I could get away from them." They lay down on the beach and he asks if he can kiss her again, and she's like, "Hell yeah, you can.
Do it."
When they're done making out, he says her kisses are amazing and he can't wait to find out how it feels to not her. Then Chad and Rustin both start kissing up her thighs and she's like, "This is awesome," and just grips the top of both of their heads. Rustin lifts up her dress and kisses along the outside of her damp panties and asks if she wants them to stop, and she's like, "No, don't stop." But she looks around nervously because even though they're on a private beach, they're still very much exposed, but Chad just tells her to open her legs. She tells the men that she's never done this before, and Rustin says it's okay, they can let it happen naturally when she's ready, and Chad is like, "Wait, are you a virgin?" And she nods, but lets her legs fall open anyway.
Chad excitedly rubbed my leg to comfort me while Rustin pressed his mouth on the center of my dripping pussy, still covered in the thin fabric of my panties. He carefully pulled my underwear aside, and he licked his lips as he gazed upon me. Her pussy is so fucking pink. Ow. "God," said Chad. Of course Chad said that. Gently continuing to knead my right thigh and holding me open for Rustin, my pussy clenched again with arousal and nervousness as they both stared at my open hole. "Look at all the delicious nectar accumulating in her pussy," said Rustin as I felt the breeze hitting my nether regions. He then spread my cheeks wide. I need to see both holes, and every drop of liquid goes on my tongue. "No, close for business."
Rustin admires her vagina while he reminds himself that Zaf has already called dibs on her virginity. He leans down and starts licking her pussy while keeping her ass cheeks spread.
She tasted like heaven. The taste of her pussy was like a light mixture. The taste of her pussy was like a light mixture of fruit against my tongue that I couldn't get enough of. Her musky peach smell overcame me and I inhaled her delicious scent. "She must smell so good," said Chad, observing me as I pressed my nose against her wet, dripping hole. "Let me taste her clit while your nose is deep inside her." "Mm-hmm," I said, smelling her pussy intently as Chad licked her clit. I forget they're dogs. Yeah. I rolled my tongue over her ass that I still had spread open, and she clenched her asshole.
Oh my God.
Brianna's like, "Are you sure you want to lick down there?" And Rustin's like, "Yes, I've been looking forward to this."
"Oh," she said in a small voice, but I could see the lines of her sphincter loosening up for me as she relaxed her ass. "Good girl," I said. "Relax your butt a little bit more for me." "Okay," she said breathlessly, and her tiny hole trembled. And she let go. I excitedly stared at her butt while Chad furiously licked and sucked on her clit. She moaned at his attention while she was distracted by him. I quickly went to work. She had to be stretched for our knots. That was our agreement. She would be used in every hole. Nothing was going to waste. Rolling my tongue around her anus, which was covered with her pussy juices, I was able to force the tip of my tongue into her. She gasped, but her pussy was clenching like crazy, so I didn't stop as I pushed a couple more inches of my tongue into her very tight asshole. "Your pussy is so good, baby," Chad was muttering. Oh, God. Chad was muttering to her as he grasped her breast while I still held onto her incredible ass cheeks. His tongue was swirling around her glistening pussy, stretching her folds out for us. Releasing her anus from the grip of my tongue, I swirled my tongue around her tight hole. Our tongues moved in the same rhythm to please her, and she began to buck on the wrinkled blanket. The way this is written is very matter-of-factly, and it's freaking me out.
She starts to come as Chad eats her pussy and Rustin eats her ass, and Rustin makes sure to press his tongue into her booty so he can feel it clench as she finishes. When she comes down, she tells them this is the best beach trip ever.
Oh my god.
They then spend a little bit more time at the beach, and then they go to a local dance after, and then they go home to the Alpha House because Zaf wants to see her. When they walk in the door, Zaf has cooked them a full meal while Oscar is playing sous chef. Just looking at Zaf has her feeling all soaky again.
Oh, soaky.
Oscar looks at her awkwardly and tries to apologize for the fingering thing, but she stops him and says it's totally fine because she enjoyed it, and he visibly relaxes. She takes a quick shower and changes into some clean lingerie before they all sit down to eat, because that's the only thing she has to wear there. They just, like, stuffed her closet full of lingerie.
And she's going to dinner like that?
Yeah. The food is amazing, and when they're all done, she tries to get up to take away the dishes to the kitchen, but Zaf is like, hell no, you aren't cleaning this up. But, like, she's the maid.
Yeah. You pay her the big bucks.
To go to the beach, I guess. And you get to do the dishes. He then grabs her hand and says, you're coming with me, and leads her to his room. He shuts the door behind them and takes in her outfit, saying that it looks like she's enjoying the wardrobe they're providing for her. And she's like, yeah, but what happens if I just take it all off? And he's like, I'll knot you right here, right now.
Do it.
So naturally, she strips, and Zaf is like, oh, fuck. He walks toward her and takes a nipple into his mouth. He pushes her down on the bed and asks if she's nervous for her first time. And she's like, I'm ready, but also, what do you want a human for? Like, why do you want me? I'm just a human. He tells her he only wants her right now, and she is so, so beautiful. He crashes a kiss down on her, and she's hella soaked. She tells him she wants him. He quickly strips and stands in front of her, telling her she's free to explore, and she tells him she's never seen a dick this up close and personal before. He orders her to wrap her hand around his dick, so she does, and she's like, whoa, you're big, as she's contemplating the potential hospital trip after fucking this monster cock.
Then suddenly, I felt his hand go between my legs. Spread, baby, he said, and I hastened to obey. His fingers spread my pussy folds until he found my clitoris. Then, using his thumb, he rubbed me in rough circles. You're extremely wet. I know, I said, biting my lip and trying to focus on his dick. Climb on top of me, babe, he said. I want your ass facing me. Oh, I squeaked when he helped me get into... Bitch, say something else. I squeaked when he helped me get into the 69 position. Then he suddenly planted his face between my ass cheeks and I gasped. His tongue slid to my pussy hole while his thumb rubbed my clit. Pussy hole.
She's sucking his dick while he eats her out, and all of a sudden he puts his finger in her ass. He tells her that she's delicious and he could eat her all night. She has an amazing orgasm and he flips her over, telling her that she tastes so sweet and he's gonna try to be gentle, but he's gonna take her now. And then he slowly slides into her.
And then it started to get harder for him to ease himself into my slick center. There it is, he said. Your hymen. Just push through it, I pleaded. Feeling some of the pain already as he pressed against my hymen without breaking it. I was scared of the pain and my breathing was harsher than before. Fuck, he growled, pushing himself into me in one go.
She feels a sharp pain and tears form in her eyes. He stops moving and tells her he's sorry, but she tells him to keep going and he's like, okay, but tell me if you want me to stop. He goes slow and even pulls out to add some extra lube and she's like, okay, I'm good now, you can do your thing. He tells her to play with herself, so she obeys and they keep going until they both come. And then she's like, oh shit, you didn't pull out. And he's like, it's fine, you're human. Yeah, I guess the way it works is they can't impregnate humans, but they can impregnate other werewolves. So,
okay.
She tries to wiggle away, but she can feel his knot growing and she's stuck. After a few minutes, he looks at her and he's like, why aren't you screaming in pain right now? The knot is supposed to hurt. And she's like, I don't know, but it doesn't hurt. And then he grabs his phone to make a phone call and says, get in here. The door bursts open and the guys are just staring at Brianna and Zaf all stuck together on the bed. And Zaf is like, she just told me that it doesn't hurt. Rustin and Chad are both like, whoa, cool. Usually it hurts the human. Zaf kisses her and says, amazing. And she's like, yeah, maybe I'm just like a freak of nature or something. So weird.
Yeah.
Not her gaslighting them.
The guys want to hang out with her, even though she's literally stuck to Zaf right now. So they all pile in bed and spend the rest of the night watching a movie until she passes out from the exhaustion of her eventful day.
What a work day.
She wakes up in the middle of the night and looks down to see Zaf's knot has gone down and it's glowing. I guess it means that it's midnight. So their cocks glow at midnight. And she's like, ah, look at the time. I've got to go. She has a ton of missed calls and texts from her aunt, so she changes into the clothes she wore to the beach and sneaks out to head home. While she's waiting at the bus stop, some creepy dude tries to assault her, but is scared off by a giant wolf. And it's Oscar.
Oh, good dog.
She climbs onto his back and rides him back to the house. When they get back, he shifts back to a human, and he's like, what were you doing? You didn't have to leave. You're always welcome to stay here. He leads her to her bed and climbs in with her completely nude, because when he shifts from a wolf back to a human, he doesn't have any clothes. They start to spoon, but he's like, I need you right now. Get on your belly. She does, and he kicks her legs open.
Do you feel this right here? Asked Oscar, rubbing his veiny cock against my lower back. I felt strangely even more aroused by letting him go off of his restraint around me. Yes, I breathe. This is called an alpha's dick, he said. He rubbed his pre-cum on my butt cheeks. It's going to knot inside your pretty little pussy. That means it's going to swell and stretch you very good. Do you want that, baby? Tell me you want it. I want it, I begged, ashamed that my voice had come out in a whiny manner that I never heard before. Where do you want my knot, baby? In your tight, sweet pussy or your filthy little anus?
Your dirty little asshole, poopy girl.
My pussy, I said in a low voice, breathing hard with anticipation. Suddenly, I heard a wet, squelching sound as he pressed his finger into my pussy from behind. You're already wet, he said. Aren't you a slutty little maid? Yes, I said, enjoying every second of this. Please, please, not me, Oscar. He rubbed his finger around my channel, stretching me, and I could hardly breathe from passion. The fire of lust going through my body was rising every second, and I felt like I could combust in this dark room. Trapped with this intense and massive alpha. So fucking wet, I love it, he said, and he popped his finger out. Sucking sounds ensued as he licked his finger clean, and my face heated up with shame.
Now you feel shame?
Yeah.
He starts smacking her butt cheeks, and she yells at him for taking too long, and he's like, I'm the alpha here, say it. So she's like, you're the alpha. He commands her to apologize, so she's like, I'm sorry, and he's like, tell me I'm the alpha again. So she does.
He's like, I need to hear you say it. Suddenly, I felt his penis jam into the entrance of my thirsty pussy. Who the fuck wrote this book?
Layla Sparks.
His thickness deliciously stretched my pussy until I bit into the pillow with a moan.
He tells her how tight she is, and she's like, you're too big. And he's like, that's what you wanted, isn't it? And he thrusts in and out of her.
She was literally just a virgin.
Like 10 minutes ago.
The room was filled with our heavy breathing and the sounds of his sack against my pussy. My breath's coming out faster and faster against the friction of the bed, combined with the thickness inside of me, forced the most powerful orgasm I'd ever had. A shattering, mind-blowing orgasm hit me hard, unexpectedly, mid-thrust.
He's like, I'm gonna knot you and put a baby in you, as he spills into her. After he's done, they're locked together, and he rolls her over and is like, hey, I'm sorry I called you a slut and stuff. I won't ever do it again. And she's like, hey, I liked it. Just don't say it outside of sexy times.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's fair.
He asks if his knot is hurting her, and she says no, and he's like, whoa, that's crazy. And then they fall asleep. She wakes up a few hours later to her asshole feeling wet, and she looks down to Oscar putting a butt plug in her.
That's a nightmare.
He tells her that it's prep for when they knot her asshole later. And she's just like, oh, okay.
I suddenly felt a thicker, wet feeling in my behind, realizing that he was furiously licking me. It felt strange, but I was so aroused that I didn't care. Why are you licking there? I asked, breathing hard when I felt the tip of his tongue probing my anus. It's time to get used to it. He grunted, his hot breath flashing against my soft skin. You have four men with different appetites, and you'll learn to please us all. Suddenly, his tongue pushed all the way into my resisting hole, and I gripped the sheets at the impact. It felt crazy, wild, and so forbidden at the same time. My pussy was constantly clenching and throbbing. I needed relief badly. Trying to close my legs was impossible since his huge body was resting between my thighs, keeping me wide open, and his hands on my ass cheeks gripped me tightly. His thick tongue speared into me, wiggling around, stretching my hole. Your tongue is thick. I gasped, feeling my anus stretching even more as he thrust into me with his tongue. He would pop out his tongue with a plopping sound and push it back in.
He puts the plug in and is like, this will keep your ass happy for the rest of the night. But she's like, what about my pussy? And he's like, let's save it for tomorrow, but you can sleep with my finger in you. And that satisfies her.
I would never.
The next morning, she wakes up and takes her plug out before her shower and washes her sore body. Zaf brings her breakfast in bed and Chad hand feeds her. And she loses herself in the bliss and is like, this is how Omegas must feel. And they pause and they're like, what did you just say? She panics and is just like, oh, I did some research on werewolves and that's how I learned about how all of that works. Can you take me home now? She gets dressed and suddenly she's pissed and she's like, I'm not just some whore you can fuck until you find an Omega to wife up, you know? And Zaf is like, we had an agreement. And she's like, fuck the agreement. Just take me home.
Oh my God.
She really does like a 180.
It really came out of nowhere.
All of a sudden, like, fuck you. Yeah.
On the way to her trailer, Zaf pulls into a parking lot and is like, I want to talk to you about the guy that attacked you at the bus stop. And she's like, I didn't want to wake you. And he's like, wake me up if you need me because I can't stand the thought of losing you. And he pulls out a box. Inside is an amethyst bracelet studded with gold. And he's like, I want you to be my girlfriend.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. He says he was waiting to give it to her on her birthday the next day, but he wants to give it to her now. He wants her to be his. And she's like, yeah, okay. And then she asks if he's ever fucked in a car before. He says no, but he can knot her hard and fast in the back seat if she wants. And she's like, hell yeah, and climbs in the back over the center console. But he grabs her and lifts her dress up, saying he wants to smell her first.
I spread her ass cheeks wide open to look at her. Her brown little hole. Oh, brown. Her brown little hole clenched at my inspection, and I look downwards at her cute pink pussy, waiting eagerly. I bent my head to smell her pussy. She smelled heavenly. It was almost like the scent was trying to evade me every time I got closer. Losing all control, I pressed my nose against her pussy. Her pussy folds were wet as I inhaled her deeply. There was a smell, almost like roses, that I couldn't pinpoint, mixed with her natural scent. Fuck, I love your smell. Oh? She squeaked. I finally removed myself from her pussy and gently released her ass cheeks until they closed again.
Until they closed again?
All this bitch says is, oh.
Oh.
Oh?
Oh. He tells her to get in the back seat now. She does and spreads her legs for him. He climbs in the back with her and she's nervous that someone will see, but he's like, fuck it, let them watch while I rut you.
I touched the stream of her sticky moisture and swirled it around her tiny clit, hiding underneath. I needed to see it. Pressing my pointed finger around her soft, moist folds, I watched as her clit slowly came out of hiding. Her pink swollen button emerged from underneath the hood while I stimulated her.
He asks if she's gonna run away again and she promises she won't. He starts eating her out and she's begging him to focus on her clit because she wants to come, but he says he's gonna stuff her with his cock first and then kisses her so she can taste herself on him. She reaches for his dick and starts to stroke him and he almost comes right then and there.
Squeeze it, honey.
I instructed, and her fingers squeezed around my shaft. Rub up and down. Yes, just like that. Good girl. But I want you inside me, she whined, almost panicking that I'd come in her hand. I wanted to come badly, but I held back. You want my big dick inside you? Yes. Guide my cock to your little hole then, I said as my balls ached and throbbed. Stuff yourself with my cock, the place where it aches the most for you.
She guides him into her and he begins to thrust, shaking the car. As he fucks her, he maneuvers her so he can lick and suck on her toes.
Like a foot guy.
He tells her to play with herself and they both come together and he knots her, locking them together. They sit and talk for a while and then his knot goes down and he says he'll bring her home now. She spends her birthday with her aunt and then gets ready to go to work on Monday. The guys pick her up this time and she's in the back seat between Rustin and Oscar. They're eager to kiss her, so she takes turns making out with both of them, and Rustin is like, I'm gonna check and see how wet you are, and he sticks a finger in her. Just then they hear honking and cackling next to them, and a group of guys are laughing hysterically outside the car. Chad gets out and punches out their window and grabs one of the guys by the throat and says to never laugh at his girl again.
Yeah, show him, Alpha.
When he gets back in the car, Zaf is like, all right, well, it's Brianna's birthday today, so let's give her the best day ever. They go to a movie and a restaurant, and then they go back to the house where there's a huge cake with candles in the dining room waiting for her. And this sends her into a flashback of the abuse at the hands of Alan, her dad, who caught her sneaking cake from the fridge when she was 12, and then he threw it on the ground and forced her to eat it off the ground.
That's terrible.
Zaf sees that she's freaking out and is like, get the cake out of here. The guys comfort her and apologize when she tells them what the cake triggered in her mind. Later that night, she gets her gifts, and it's a ring to match her new bracelet, a new phone, crotchless panties, a diamond butt plug, and a shark egg.
A shark egg? What the fuck? They're like, here, we got you a shark.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what do I do with this?
You'll see. Chad says he has something to show her and brings her to his second bedroom. It's fully an aquarium with sharks and stuff.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he just has an aquarium. He leads her to a pile of blankets in the middle of the room, and she's thinking to herself that this looks like an omega nest. He shows her to a special tank he made for her, and they place the shark egg inside. Oscar's like, okay, enough of this. Go put on the panties we got you. And she's like, okay, be right back, and heads to the bathroom to freshen up. She decides she wants to try out the plug herself and gets on all fours.
I rubbed the plug around and around my pussy to use its moisture before I stuck it in my ass. My heart was beating so hard I could hardly breathe, excited at the thought of the plug. I slowly began to circle my clenching anus with the device. What are you doing? Asked a deep voice, and I dropped the plug onto the ground. I craned my head to see Oscar standing there with a smirk on his face. Nothing, I said quickly, but he picked up the plug, which rolled towards his feet. I will be the one to plug your little bottom. He said, coming towards me. I closed my legs and immediately crawled to the other end of the room. I wasn't really going to do it, I said quickly, breathing hard as he approached me. I just wanted to try it. Why are you running away from it? He asked, raising his bushy eyebrows. I saw you teasing your anus. Now let me be the one to fill it.
She's like, let's wait for the others, but Oscar says they can wait. He wants to smell her ass and stuff it with her gift. He tells her to sit her ass on his face so he can smell her and make sure she's all clean.
I reached back and spread my ass cheeks for him. Like this? Very nice, he breathes, and I wondered if he was staring at my asshole clenching. So much clenching. Let me smell you first and make sure you're clean. Oh, I gasped when I felt him pressing his nose against my ass. I froze as I stared at the carpet underneath me while he probed at my anus with his nose. I wasn't half asleep this time, and I was starting to wonder if he was really a creep amongst the alphas. Hmm, you smell nice, he said. I love your particular ass smell. Please don't ask me to fart in your face or anything like that, I said in jest. But he suddenly gripped my ass cheek. Do you need to let one out? He asked in a serious voice. No, I yelled, ready to pull away, but he didn't press the issue. Instead, I felt a wetness on my asshole and realized he was licking me. Give you a couple of quick licks before we plug your beautiful little hole. said Oscar as he rubbed his rough tongue around my anus. Each lick sent me flying higher and higher as I spread myself even wider for him.
He plugs her up and tells her she's gonna walk back to the guys so they can all see what it looks like. She goes back to the rest of the pack and does a little spin in her lingerie. Oscar lifts up her skirt and shows them the little diamond in her booty.
Spread your cheeks, baby, requested Zaf. I could feel the blood rushing to my head as I spread my ass cheeks for them. My eyes could feast on her ass all day, said Oscar, twirling the plug inside of me for the alpha's entertainment. Then he pulled the plug out. Do you see how her hole is gaping now?
They head to the nest to get to business. A while later, she's got Rustin in her ass, Chad in her puss, while Oscar fucks her mouth. Zaf is licking her nipples and she's jerking him off. They all come and she gets knotted by both Rustin and Chad, and Zaf tells her how proud he is of her. They fall asleep and she wakes up to Zaf playing with her pussy while she's snoozing. When she wakes up, he says she will please her alpha now and shoves his dick into her.
I clenched and he pushed deeply one last time, bucking as he exploded within me. Feels so amazing, I said, closing my eyes as he kissed me on the mouth in the dark. His cock ballooned and knotted my sore pussy that had been pushed to the limits, but at least everyone was able to orgasm tonight, and for some reason, that made me happy.
Just doing your job, girl.
Yeah, you're getting paid $80 an hour.
Yeah.
After they're done, he's like, hey, do you want to move in? But she says she can't leave her aunt. The next morning, it's breakfast time. Oscar pulls her onto his lap and tells Rustin to turn around and take off his pants.
And while Rustin's back was turned, Oscar placed my legs on the outside of his knees and ripped a hole in the middle of my leggings, exposing my pussy. Rustin turned back around and his eyebrows rose. Go ahead and fuck her, said Oscar, suddenly placing a piece of toast into my mouth. I couldn't talk as Rustin approached me, cock hanging before him. I'm holding her wide open for you, Rusty. Thank you, he said, licking his lips and making eye contact with me before thrusting his cock into my waiting pussy. She's so wet already. I know she is, said Oscar. Enjoy her the way she was meant to be enjoyed. Oscar held my legs wide open for him as he kissed my neck. He was rubbing my clit while Rustin pounded into my pussy. Such a horny kitten, aren't you? Whispered Oscar while my pussy was being stretched. Didn't you get enough noddings last night for your birthday? No, I moaned as Rustin pulled out and then back in with enough force that almost sent the chair flying. After he's done nodding you, do you want your plug back inside your asshole? Yes, I said, horny as hell, while Oscar played with my clit. His finger rubbed me faster and faster until I yelled through my orgasm. I sat there limply with my legs wide open while Rustin finished pumping inside of me.
She goes home that night and her aunt is like, girl, are you fucking your boss? And Brianna's like, yeah, but don't worry, it's just a fling. It's just some rich old guy. Don't even worry about it. Meanwhile, Zaf is at home doing some research on Bree, but he can't find any record of her online. He knows she's hiding something and he decides he needs to end the contract with her.
Oh, that was quick.
Yeah, it really came out of nowhere. He sends her a text saying the contract is void and she can live there as she sees fit, but they no longer need her assistance and it was great meeting her. She reads the text and finally confesses to her aunt that she was sleeping with a pack of alphas, and her aunt is pissed and is like, we're leaving this town first thing tomorrow. That night, Zaf stops by Breeze to drop off her last paycheck and he's like, what are you lying about? And she tells him she's a beta and he's like, wow, okay, take the money. Your protection is over. Goodbye. And then he leaves.
Zaf.
When she goes back inside after crying on the ground for a while, she sees scratch marks on the door and Aunt Julie's gone.
No.
A strange Omega woman steps out from the shadows and tells Bree she knows what happened and where her aunt is. She introduces herself as Ruby and says her fathers took her to make their second Omega. She says, get in my car and I'll help you find her. I'm pissed about the way Omegas are treated and I want to help. Ruby tells Bree that someone named Alan tipped off her pack that there was a runaway Omega and her dad's decided to take her in for safety. And Alan is her dad. She says her family won't hurt Julie, but they can go where she is and set her free. Brianna starts getting all crampy and Ruby asks if she's in heat or something. And she's like, no, I'm a beta. Just stop at the gas station and I'll grab some Advils and some pads. Then they're on the road to save Aunt Julie. The next morning, Zaf breaks the news to the pack about what went down with Brianna the night before, and Chad is like, this is dumb. She was obviously lying low because her pack leader's a dick, and Zaf is like, you're right, let's go get our girl.
Oh my god, so flippy floppy.
That night, Ruby and Brianna are in El Paso at her family's home. She meets Ruby's mom, who is an absolute mess. They have a quick snack together, and Ruby's like, I'm gonna show Brianna around. When they're out of earshot, Ruby tells Brianna that her mom is an unmedicated schizophrenic, and she's not getting much attention from the alphas, so she's getting really bad. The house is empty and she tells Bree that her dads must not be here with her aunt yet. And Brianna's like, okay, I'm gonna run out to do something really quick. Text me when they get here. She's going to her aunt's old house for weapons when she's stopped by Alan, her dad.
Fuck you, Alan.
By this time, the guys have figured out what's happening because of the state of Brianna's trailer and the scent from the alphas that took Julie, and Zaf is like, get the helicopter. We're going to El Paso.
They're gonna go get their girl. So she gets to her aunt's house and her dad finds her there, and he ends up dragging her back to her home, and basically she's going back home to cook and clean as she should have been doing this whole entire time. She asks where her mom is, and he put his arms around her neck starting to choke her, and he told her that if she doesn't start cooking for him, she's gonna join her in the grave. Zaf and the pack finally arrive to her compound, and they separate trying to search for her house until Oscar finds it. They don't immediately go in though, because they're trying to come up with a game plan. She was preparing for a meal for her dad, and she took a piece of meat and ate it, but immediately her dad was like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's towering over her in the kitchen, and he tells her, if she wants to eat his food, then eat it, bitch. She had like a major flashback of when he did that to her with the cake, and he put it on the floor and made her eat every single bite of the cake. She's like hysterically crying now, and she takes the fork from his hand, and instead of letting the grief consume her, she gets really angry and she stabs him right in the chest with the fork.
Yeah.
But she wounds him. She doesn't kill him. And now he's coming at her with vengeance. She tries to run to her old room while her dad is literally chasing her with murder intent eyes. And she tries barricading herself in there, but before she could, Alan busted the door down and he told her that he was gonna fucking kill her. He's about to start choking her again, and before he could put his hands on her, Zaf and the men run into the room and save her. Zaf takes Bree away from the room while the rest of the pack are ripping him to shreds. She's downstairs going through shock from the traumatizing event that just happened, and she tells Zaf that man, her dad Alan, wasn't even capable of 1 ounce of love since he killed her mother, his mate. And then suddenly the front door bursts open and it's her mom, who's very much alive, and her mom is screaming in pain, crying, telling her that she's a monster for killing her mate.
Bitch.
Aunt Julie comes in with 3 alphas behind her and a mark on her neck showing that she's been claimed, and Julie tries to calm down her sister. She sees her 5-year-old brother for the first time and finds out that his name is Eddie and takes him outside to get away from the death and the pain. She tells him that she's his sister, and he's so happy because he's always wished for a sibling, and they hug and have a cute little like sibling moment. After some time, she gets back inside and she tries talking to her mom. She's like, dude, like he literally tried killing me and he told me you were dead. And her mom's like, what the fuck? And she tells Bree that her other mate and one true love, Rodman, left her because he couldn't deal with Alan's abuse. So now she has absolutely no one. They have a cutesy little mother-daughter moment, and she says that she wishes that she was a better mom. And Bree's like, yeah, I don't forgive you right now, but maybe sometime in the future. Like, you caused me so much trauma, girl. Not happening right now.
Fair enough.
Later, she tells her aunt that they could leave the compound tonight. And Auntie's like, girl, I'm in love, baby. I'm not going anywhere. And I think it's about time we go our separate ways anyways. All the alphas meet Auntie, and throughout dinner, she had hella bad abdominal pain, and she felt super, super queasy. So she's like, everyone, get out of here. Goodbye. It was nice having dinner. And she tells the alphas that they can leave too, because they're all still not on great terms. And Zaf apologizes for his anger the other night when she told him that she was a werewolf. He doesn't want her to be without them. He's like, baby, I'm sorry. Take me back. Like, I would love you even if you were a beta. Promise. She stopped mid-conversation to run to the bathroom, and as she gets to the bathroom, a huge gush of liquid comes pouring out of her were-tussy. Her stomach was clenching so hard, and a huge smell of roses seemed to pour out of every pore.
What's happening?
She's getting super horny. That's what's happening. She's like horny as fuck. She has horrible, debilitating cramps, and then she runs up to the bedroom, locking herself in because she's like super confused what the fuck's going on. And she tries making it to her bed to lay down, and she falls flat on the floor in an excruciating pain, and she screams for Zaf.
Is this bitch pregnant? She's not.
They all rush to the bedroom and they find that it's locked, and they're like, what is going on? And she's like, I'm in heat.
Oh.
They break down the door immediately, and they get hit with her rose scent that's super, super strong now, and told her that the only way to stop the pain was to knot her.
While my pack got Bree ready for my knot, I was shedding my pants and boxers. My cock sprung out, prepared to enter our Omega's pink waiting pussy. Wait, so is she an Omega?
She is.
Oh, shit.
Zaf enters her.
You're doing such a good job, Rustin said to her as he massaged her clit. Oscar was standing guard at the door in case anything happened. You're gonna make your alpha so happy. Yes, indeed, I grunted as I pushed in and out of her tight pussy. I miss your cute pussy.
Cute.
He fucks his Omega and then knots her, and suddenly he bites her, claiming her as his. He tells her even before he found out she was an Omega, he wanted to claim her. They're in the car now, leaving the compound. The second Zaf is out of her, she's lifted on Oscar and she sits on his wear dick.
Ugh.
We got wear dicks and we got wear tussies. Oscar starts making friends with her booty hole and fingers it while she's on top of him, and they climax together. Even after they come, Oscar's still fingering her ass because the lubrication that she was secreting out of her pussy is now coming out of her asshole too.
Ugh.
He brings it to his face and he's like, yeah, baby, this is all you. Like, puts his gooping fingers in front of her face from her asshole.
You see this? This came from your butt.
And she's like, ah, and then like falls asleep on him. She wakes up with Rustin inside of her. They're in a hotel room. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? Rustin has his eyes closed and she starts dry humping him while he's sleeping. And he opens his eyes and she feels bad for waking him up. But they start having sex while everyone else is sleeping. They orgasm together and Rustin falls asleep again. And once his knot goes down, she gets up to shower and Chad woke up and helped her wash herself.
Your thighs are so jiggly, he said, squeezing my skin as he washed my legs next. Spread them apart for me, baby.
Your thighs are so jiggly. I would hate hearing that.
I would be like, okay, thank you.
He fucks her from behind and Chad is huge.
I want this to last forever, he said, grunting out each word as he jackhammered into my trembling pussy. Your pussy is clamping onto my cock.
She has her third orgasm of the night and he washes her hair while he's knotted inside of her. And they get to know each other more while they're showering. And Chad tells her that he used to work with Henry on the island, but left when he found out that Henry was running an Omega breeding camp, which is definitely illegal. And Henry's the one that found her from Alan. Alan was like, hey, we got some people that ran away. And Henry was the one that found them, obviously, like, trying to get them into the breeding camp. Zaf wakes up to hearing Bree, and he wakes the other alphas up, and they start cleaning the room and get her breakfast ready. He tells the pack that he wants to ask Bree to marry them, so they decide tomorrow they're gonna go ring shopping. She comes out of the shower with a huge feast, and Oscar's like, sit on my lap, baby.
Her juicy butt over my dick made me hard as fuck, and I wanted to warm my cock inside her tight hole while I feed her. Hold on, baby, I said, spreading her ass cheeks on my lap. Then I loosened my bathrobe to let my dick roam freely. Guiding it between her ass cheeks, I slowly inserted it into her anus. Just like it's nothing?
Well, she has secretion now, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's her own personal lube.
He's literally fucking her in the ass at the breakfast table while feeding her a croissant. And they're all just like sitting eating breakfast and they're just like normal.
Just family things. I wanted her ass to be well fed, just like her stomach would be. It sure is.
Feed that ass.
Yum, yum, yum.
Once she was full, they stood up while he's still in her ass and Rustin took her where tussie. So there's two of them now. She's being DP'd. It's 2 weeks later and Bree and Chad are watching the baby shark hatch. They name him Finley, which is totally adorable.
That is very cute.
She had to go to the bathroom and she wanted to freshen up before they got down and dirty.
You know how I love it when you're not squeaky clean, he said, his hand wandering down between my legs.
She ran to the bathroom and took a pregnancy test and it was positive. Somebody better call Murray because we don't even know whose damn baby this is.
Yeah, whose baby? Whose baby would it be?
We don't know.
All of them.
It's the PAX.
The PAX baby.
She's worried though that it's not accurate because this is the first test that she's ever taken. So she makes an appointment with her doctor and she told Chad that the appointment was for birth control. The doctor confirms that she's pregnant and she hides the sonogram in her purse as they head home. Later, they're at dinner and everyone knows that something's up with Bree and they're worried. She's having anxiety and is worried that they're all going to leave her once they find out that she's pregnant.
And she's being like hella dramatic at this point. Girl, you know they're not going anywhere. But still, she's like convinced that the second that she tells them that they're all going to break up with her. So she locks herself in her bedroom and cries all night long.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way. They'd be like, yeah, a new pack member.
A new pup.
Two of them literally said, I'm going to put a baby in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next day, they decide to take her out on a picnic because they feel her slipping away from them. And while she's sitting at the beautiful picnic, Zaf tells Bree to open up the basket. And inside is a huge diamond ring. And Zaf confesses his love and proposes. And she's like, I would love to marry all of you.
Oh my God.
It's 1 week later and they're getting on a private jet ready to elope. She handed Zaf an envelope and told him to open it and he's never been so happy. He showed the rest of the pack her sonogram. They're all at a little bonfire at the house at Joshua Tree where they're going to elope and Zaf has a surprise for her. Her auntie, her mom, and her little brother. She revealed to them that she's an Omega and her mom was like, what the fuck? And she was like, Beta or Omega, I still should have been treated better because Omegas are always treated better than Betas. But she's like, it doesn't matter what I am, girl. You treated me like shit.
Yeah, I was your child.
It's the day of the wedding and her mom gives her a ripped up notebook and she tells her just to wait till after the wedding to read it. She tells her family that she's pregnant and her mom is so happy and her aunt ends up walking her down the aisle. Zaf is crying like a little baby pup along with Rustin, Chad, and Oscar. They're all just like looking at her like she's heaven on earth. Legally, she's married to Zaf, but in the ceremony, she marries everyone and kisses all of the grooms, pronouncing them husbands and wife. They get back to the house and start getting their wife ready to mate.
Let me smell that underwear, demanded Oscar while Zaf held it to his nose. My face heated as I watched Zaf pass my dirty underwear to Oscar so he could also take a sniff. Mmm, yummy. People love that shit.
There's just cocks everywhere. I really don't know how else to explain this part of the book. There's fingers in booty holes, fingers in the wear tussie, dicks everywhere. She enforces the Gluck Gluck 3000. It's basically just like a whole bukkake show.
Mm. That's what it sounds like.
Delicious.
And they all tell her that they love her. Oscar marks her by biting her ass cheek. Chad bites her inner thigh and Rustin bites her neck, the opposite side of Zaf's mark. It's 7 months later and she's finally reading the book her mom gave her on her wedding day. It's an old diary that explains everything that her mom went through. It doesn't excuse, but it explains why she treated her like she did and that her mom was in a breeding camp and had no choice but to take Alan as her mate. Bree gets super, super dizzy and Zaf calls their doctor and they rush her to the hospital and she has preeclampsia and they're going to do an emergency C-section. She passes out before the procedure and wakes up to a baby girl that they named Ava and they all live happily ever after. The end.
I don't understand why they had to make the birth so traumatic.
I know. They're like, bam, way to end the book. She almost died during pregnancy.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I give it 3.
Okay.
It was good. It was just, I feel like the writing was a little different. Mm-hmm. It seemed very, like, matter of fact, almost, like, factual. I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't very sexy.
No.
It was so funny, though.
It was very funny.
It was very funny. Very funny.
Do you think the pack is sexy?
No. Oscar kind of creeps me out. Like, whatever, booty stuff, we're down for it. Yeah, do it. But he was just weird about it. Something about it, he gave me a weird vibe. Maybe Zaf. I don't know. He seemed like the most level-headed one, I guess.
Yeah, but he was also like, I hate liars.
And then,
let's go get our girl. Would you trade places with Brianna?
God, no. No.
Double penetration all day, every day?
It's like quadruple penetration.
Yeah. I don't want that. I don't want to be knotted, especially in my bummy.
All right. So next week, we're telling Riley all about Spookily Yours by Jennifer Chipman. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
On the cover, we have a man and a woman. And the woman's standing on a pumpkin. They're in like a little graveyard cemetery. It's spooky, obviously. I think that the girl's going to be a witch. And I think she's going to meet this man. And he is going to be maybe a human man. And they're going to meet at the cemetery because he's going to be grieving the loss of a family member or somebody. And she's going to see him. And something's going to draw her to him. And he's going to be spookily hers.
Okay.
Am I close at all?
No.
I don't feel it in this one.
She is a witch, but it's pretty apparent because she's literally wearing the pointy witch hat.
Yeah. Okay. It could have been a costume, bitch.
It is Halloween.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.